Jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu is no joke. It takes years to master.
Martial arts are a vehicle for developing your human potential. And nothing in my life has ever put me in face with reality better than jiu-jitsu.
Training in BJJ offers a powerful lens through which to examine some primary human concerns: truth versus delusion, self-knowledge, ethics, and overcoming fear.
There's more philosophy in our mats than actually philosophy in any Ivy League school.
Welcome to Philosophy.
Welcome, everybody.
And welcome to another episode of
Philosophy.
How are you, my friend?
I am doing amazing. How are you doing?
Very, very good. Very good. Excited because we have another stellar guest lined up.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Elaine Nguyen.
Hey, Elaine, how's it going?
Good, nice to see you.
So listen, Elaine, we are going to ask you the first question we ask all our guests that come on our podcast. How did you get into jiu-jitsu?
I actually got into judo first. I started, I took a judo class when I was 20 years old, about 6 weeks. But they didn't teach it in my hometown when I got back home from college, so I just forgot about it till I was 69 and found out that the gym down the street taught judo. So I called up and asked if they take old people. And I said, they said yes, so I came. And the judo instructor is also the jiu-jitsu instructor. He's a black belt in both. So after a few weeks, he said, why don't you try jiu-jitsu? So I did. So I've done a little of both, mostly jiu-jitsu now. But I still do a little bit of judo.
So I think the first question that needs to be asked straight after that is, why at the age of 69 did you decide to go and do a martial art?
I mean, I really don't know. I can't explain it, except that I never really thought about my age. I just thought, oh, this is something I'd like to do. So I did it. I mean, I didn't think about my age. I never do.
That's amazing. How has the experience been for you on the mats?
You know, it's been really good. Great gym. The people are really, really nice. And I really forget about my age when I step on the mat, if I ever remember it anyway, because they just treat me like one of the guys. So it's been wonderful for me. Great. I've made great friends. I've enjoyed the experience. I get killed a lot, but that's okay.
Elaine, just quickly, where in the world are you?
I'm a little south of Birmingham, Alabama.
Okay.
I live in a small town just outside of, to the south of Birmingham.
And whereabouts do you train?
I train in Pelham, Alabama, which is also a little south of Birmingham, but I'm a little further south than Pelham. So there's Birmingham, then there's Pelham, and then I'm a little further past that in Calera, little bitty town that I'm in. But the gym's about 30 minutes from my house.
And which gym is it?
Gracie Baja, Alabama.
Fantastic. Wow. Cool.
Which
cool.
is Calipo Lavera's gym.
So one of the things, I guess, is from people looking in, they may see your age as an issue. Have you suffered any injuries at all? How has it been rolling with, I imagine, people bigger than you? How's that been?
Well, I do get bruises, and I've been injured. I mean, everybody is though in jiu-jitsu. Is that not right? Everybody's getting bumped and bruised and sore, and it's just part of the sport. But we have a rule in the gym that you don't hurt the girls. You know, you're respectful. So that really is helpful too. You know, the really big guys are going to be a little more careful with me unless they're new white belts than they.
Do you tend to avoid, for example, be very selective who you roll with because of that?
You know, I'm usually not. I mean, I rolled with a guy that was 360 something pounds. He was very nice. I love him. I usually don't avoid anybody unless one of the other girls has said, you might not roll with that new white belt. He's big and he doesn't know his strength, or doesn't, you know, modify his strength to fit the size of the girl he's rolling with. think about it. I don't think about it.
Isn't that funny how you don't dodge, like, the bigger experienced guys? You just dodge the white belts because they don't know what they're doing. Also, for all of our British listeners that don't deal in pounds, 360 pounds is 163 kilograms.
Wow.
Which is a weighty division.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Elaine.
He was so big that he literally laid down on his back and said, "Well, get on me," like, and I sat on his chest, and my knees would not touch the floor, literally. that.
I love it.
I could turn across the Atlantic on him. He was as big as a ship.
Elaine, what do your friends and family think about you taking up, I guess, first judo and then jiu-jitsu?
I don't think... My husband wasn't surprised because I always do crazy stuff like this. One of my daughters was very concerned about me getting hurt. Everybody else went, "Oh, whatever. It's just mom doing mom's thing." So I don't think my friends were really surprised either.
And what's the biggest benefit you've taken from martial arts so far?
Oh, there's been so many. You know, I'm certainly stronger than when I started. My bone density has definitely improved. And at my age, that's a big deal. And I have something fun to look forward to every week. You know, it's a challenge. I love challenges. And obviously, jiu-jitsu is quite a challenge, isn't it?
It is. It is. And you are a blue belt, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
How long were you training before you were awarded your blue belt?
Probably about a year and a half. I think I got it a little bit early because my professor wanted to take me to the World Master Championships in 2019. Wow. And I said, "I've never competed." And he said, "Yeah, it's okay." I said, "I'm only a white belt." And he said, "Oh, you'll be a blue belt by then." So I just blue belt. So I was like 1 month a blue belt before I competed in the World Masters Championships. Ooh.
How did that go? How was that experience?
I won one, I lost one, I tied two. I fought four matches in about 70 minutes. But I managed to stay on the mat the whole time, so that's a good thing. I got two silver medals.
Very well done. Very well
that's
done.
That's really good.
One of the things that amazes me by that is that you have other people competing in your kind of age bracket and in your belt division as well. How many other competitors are there?
Well, that's the thing. There are not many. At the World Masters, there were only two of the girls, of course. And then at the Pan American Games just last year, there was only one girl, and she outweighed me. So I just went up a weight or two division to fight her. And in the World Masters, in the 2020, there was nobody but me. So that I usually have to go down like to Master 6 or Master 5 to get a fight.
Yeah.
Then I'll wind up going up in weight, which is probably
yeah. For those that don't necessarily follow jiu-jitsu too much, the way it works, if there's no one in your kind of age category, then they usually bump you down to the nearest one available. Elaine, correct me if I'm wrong, but what you're saying here is that there was someone available who was in fact heavier than you, so similar age but heavier, so then you had to go up and compete, which does put you at a disadvantage, and even for any competitor to move up a weight class when you're lighter is a definite disadvantage. But I think, as you're saying there, that there's not a lot of options, and it's a long way to go to not have a fight.
That's true. And when I fought in Mississippi, I was fighting a girl that was maybe 38. Wow. And she was, you know, so of course I lasted maybe 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes before I got killed. And it worried my professor because he doesn't like me fighting people below 50, like over 20 years younger than me. He doesn't mind if they're 50. But you know, if I don't move down, I may not get a fight. So I may get the points, but I don't get to fight it. Hey, you go to fight, don't you?
You do indeed.
One thing I wonder, it's like I remember my first experience competing and how nervous I was, how sort of like clueless. I wonder how was it for you, like especially the internal part of it, the whole emotional experience.
Oh, I was nervous and clueless too. I went all the way to Las Vegas, and the bad thing was, or luckily, I say the good thing, one of my friends at the gym said, Elaine, you always take two gis. And I went, oh, okay. Because I had just gotten a new blue gi that I really liked, but I went on and took my white gi anyway. And when I went up to compete, the blue gi did not pass the test. It was too thin in the arms. I had to take it off right there and put on the white gi that I was carrying.
No way.
I mean, that she told me to take another gi. What would I have done? You know, I literally just stripped in the gym and put on another gi.
You know, Elaine, you're not the only one on this podcast who has had an issue with gis at the weigh-in. My good friend Iki Elanga here was not allowed to wear his gi. And he did not have the common sense to have bought a spare gi with him. So he had to run up into the stands, grab a spare gi off someone else, change in the middle of the stands. He then had to run down, go through the weigh-in, go through the bullpen, run straight to the mat and straight on to fight his opponent.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
It's just so stressful. Like I remember that. Like and then like you still have to fight after even just like all that commotion.
That's right.
It's funny actually, Elaine. The first time because it's fair to say you've got quite a bit of a social media following now. I think. I think the jiu-jitsu community has kind of held you up as. I don't want to say an example. I guess a positive example of what jiu-jitsu can do at any age. And the first time I heard of you was on Instagram. For anyone listening that wants to follow Elaine, her Instagram is jiu-jitsu_grandma, and her page is brilliant. What's that been? Bear in mind you have 18,000 followers. What's that been like in terms of, I guess, this newfound community and the fact that you are now, to the community at least, recognizable?
I didn't even know what Instagram was. My professor told me I needed to start an Instagram page, and so I went to my granddaughter and said, so how do I do that? So she set me up, and she named me Jiu-Jitsu Grandma.
Amazing.
So every once in a while, I would call her and go, so how do I do this or how do I do that? So I learned, you know, how to do it. And I just video, you know, at my gym and post stuff we're doing in the gym or in competition. It's been fun. It is. It's odd that so many people are interested in a little old lady from Alabama. I mean, I'm pretty ordinary.
But I think that's one of the most amazing things is that oftentimes in jiu-jitsu we focus on the competitors and the athletes and, you know, the people that are held up in high regard as they should be. However, they make up, I think it's 3% of the jiu-jitsu community. The other 97% are the people like us that turn up and do it because we love it and we enjoy it, but, you know, have another life and other jobs and, you know, everything else that goes with it.
So one thing that also makes me curious is I wonder how your life was before when you were younger. Were you always attracted to maybe something that was a little bit over the edge, or were you always into sports? Were you always active growing up?
I have never done competitive sports. I'm the only one in my family that's not an athlete. My husband ran track for Auburn University. My granddaughter runs for Samford University. Everybody plays basketball and all that stuff. I didn't. But, you know, as soon as I got married, the first thing I pretty much said to my husband was, I want to jump out of an airplane. And he went, hey, go for it. And I did. You know, so I think that kind of a challenge appeals to me. I ride horses that are a little, most of my friends might not want to get on, but I don't mind. Because they're a challenge. It's a challenge to ride a spooky horse, a horse that rears or does all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's that. I, for me, it's trying to, you know, understand you and where this desire comes from. But I think it's as simple as wanting a challenge, right? It's because it's there, because I can, which is as good a reason as any.
I also had two older brothers, which probably explains a lot. I was not really into girl stuff at all. I wanted to climb the trees and play football and wrestle around with my brothers. They taught me how to throw a good punch.
So, very good.
I can blame them for a lot of this.
One of the things that often gets spoken about at a gym, and we've spoken about on this podcast as well, is this idea of the belt system in jiu-jitsu and the idea of, you know, what is a blue belt and what is a black belt. I'd kind of be interested to get your take on what the belts mean to you in jiu-jitsu.
I leave this up, obviously, to my professor as far as what they need to do. I just feel like if I'm going to make it to a purple belt, I've got one stripe on my blue belt. I've worked really hard this year to make sure that I deserve that, even though any white belt possibly in the gym might be able to beat me because of size and strength and agility and age, you know. But I want to be the best that I can be at my age. I've started a new Baja Fit class, which is a sort of an exercise class, 2 days a week. They're killing us. but it's really just to help my jiu-jitsu, to make me stronger, a little more endurance, that sort of thing. So, I don't know how the belt system works. I just trust that if I get to a certain spot, my professor will reward me with whatever other stripe or whatever I need.
White belts take note, eh?
you know, it's quite interesting.
They told me I might be a black belt by the time I'm 80, and I'm going to <I'm 80.
laughs> I was reading this article recently about millennials and people who are 30 and below from at the moment. And one of the things that we all kind of struggle with is comparison, especially with social media, Instagram, and things like that. You are in an interesting situation where it's the fact that your situation in jiu-jitsu, for the most part, is very unique. That the best you can do also means being honest and appreciating what you have and working with what you have, the tools that you have. And I wonder how that is. Like you pretty much can't compare to anybody else, and you're like, this is me, this is my journey, and this is my jiu-jitsu. How has that been for you?
You are so right. In jiu-jitsu, as far as the ages go, the guys who are 40 and 50 are not going to be very competitive with a 20-year-old. It's just the fact of life. And certainly at 72, you know, it's going to be a struggle just to last 5 minutes with somebody that's 10, 15, 20 years younger than me. Hey, every time I step on the mat, I feel like I've won because I'm stepping on the mat. If I can make it the whole 5 minutes, woohoo, I'm really happy. You take what you can get, you know? 20 points out of a mat, even if I lose, hey, I've made some points. I've done something right, So, that's the way I have to look at it.
That's
gotta be realistic, you know, and honest with myself. It's frustrating for me. I'll admit it is because I want to be better. But I'm pushing myself a little hard. My husband this morning said, "Lane, you need to rest. So I'm going a little too hard. You need to have a few days off and not push so hard." Bye.
It's interesting. Our coach, he spoke to me about, you know, the different methods of rolling, the different ways of rolling. I have a tendency to try and fall back on, like, just pure power, just try and strength my way out of it. It's a lot of things. I do spend a lot of time in the gym. I'm not saying I'm the strongest by far. I just have a tendency to do it. And it's also kind of my game as well. But he spoke to me a lot about roll with people that are smaller than you, and force yourself to exchange jiu-jitsu and be okay with the fact that if they beat you by jiu-jitsu, that's a good thing. It's showing you the holes in your jiu-jitsu. And I think that is the way that a lot of people can approach this, which is go and trade jiu-jitsu, not like speed or power or you know, any of that. Go and see how your jiu-jitsu fares up. And I think that is when you get a situation where it's all inclusive. Everyone can do that and see how they fare.
And so true. So true. I'm not going to be able to power past anybody unless it's a 13-year-old little girl.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. I do fairly good, though, with the 14 and 15-year, 16-year-old boys, surprisingly. I wouldn't thought I would, but so
Elaine,
far.
Elaine, be honest. Do you use a little bit of strength and power on the 15-year-old boys?
Just listen, I use that on everybody. As much as I got, I'm going to use.
Nice.
You know? If I can be mean, I'm going to be mean.
Elaine,
I deserve it at my age, you know, come on.
Yeah, I love it. Elaine, do you have a favorite submission?
Oh, I probably do better with chokes than anything else, truthfully. I don't do triangles well. My legs are short. I'm 4'11". I'm actually shrunk. So triangles are not great for me. And yeah, I probably do better with chokes if I'm going to submit somebody, if I'm lucky enough to do that.
What does the next couple of years training tournaments look like for you for jiu-jitsu?
I would like to get the major tournaments, the Pan Games and World Masters, but I like the smaller ones that I can just go on down several ages or up weights or whatever and just work on just learning how to compete more, getting more comfortable in that ring and not so nervous. I don't worry about it. I'm not much of a worrier, but you know yourself, nerves can, until I step on the mat. Once I step on the mat, I'm good.
It's so funny. One of my assistant coaches, he always says to me, when you go out and step on that mat, it's not like they're gonna roll out like a piano or a violin and say, play it. You're gonna do jiu-jitsu, the thing you've been training for all this time. And that helped me massively as well. You know, you should be comfortable doing jiu-jitsu, so as soon as you're out there on the mat, that's all they're gonna ask you to do.
Yeah, but that's a lot. Come on, guys.
It is.
And issues with just remembering stuff. I've got CRS, I can't remember stuff. So I video a lot of the drills at class and I go home and watch them at night. And I watch videos I've picked up on Instagram, just things my professors, you know, done for me. Because I walk out of that class and I go, what do we do? Well, I don't know. So that's hard. But it's the same with other people too.
It definitely is. Do you talk about this with your coach? Like, do you have like a roadmap or a plan laid out with your coach that you're kind of sticking to, or is it very much part of the team and turn up and go along with it?
I just do whatever comes to mind. Before a competition, he's going to work with me some, but invariably, no matter how much I work with whomever, I never get to do what we work on in competition. You know how that goes sometimes. Or if he does tell me to do something, I did everything wrong in the everything. I was so mean. Don't, after the competition, you go back and you go, why did I do that?
Yeah.
Why? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I had one where my coach showed me the technique to beat what happened to me. And it was the most simplest thing in the world. But if you don't know it, you know.
Or you can't remember it.
Exactly.
I mean, I had one where I got choked and I passed out.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't, in my mind, I thought that it was a bad call until they showed me the video. I was so sure that I didn't pass out. And then when I saw it, I was like, oh, that really did happen.
It was the sneakiest choke, though. It was so sneaky that afterwards our coach pulled the opponent over and said, how, you have to show me, how did you do that? And then he showed him and he was like, okay, fair enough.
That's great.
Elaine, I'm wondering, so few competitors for you, have you got any rivalries building?
Oh, no. At my age, we're all friends.
Okay.
we're good friends. You know, we're happy to see each other. We talk on Instagram or Facebook. There's not really a rivalry thing going on when you're up at our age. And maybe because we're female, possibly, too. I don't know. But we're more friends. And even if she beats me 5 times, we're going to be good friends.
I love that. Yeah, that's cool.
I wonder if you managed to convert anybody in your family or circle of friends to join you.
My kids aren't interested at all. I got 3 of my grandkids to try it. No, one of them, I'm not doing that, no. And the others are too busy. I have one grandson that I think if they would let him, maybe after the virus has settled down some, they'll let him come on to the gym. He enjoyed it a lot, and I think he'd be good at it. He's not going to be a really big kid, maybe 5'8", 5'9", when he grows up. But he's quick, and I think he'd be good. I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Have you got a big family, Elaine?
I have 3 kids and 7 grandkids.
Wow.
It's pretty sizable.
Yeah.
And what did you do in a previous life?
Raise my kids mainly.
Very good.
We started having kids, my husband didn't want me to work anymore or get away from homework. So I stayed home and raised kids, and now I play with the grandkids. Man, they are fun. We ride horses, we 4-wheel together, we do all kinds of crazy stuff.
That's amazing.
That's so crazy. It's like my mom keeps telling me, like, man, you gotta be fast. I need grandkids right now because this is it's the first time that I actually get to hang out with them, and I don't take full on responsibility all the time, and I can just play and have fun. So please.
Oh yeah, listen, I feel it for her because they are really fun. They do. They spent most of summer at the farm with me because of the virus, and we did the crazy stuff. I taught them self-defense, we did a little boxing, you know, we made homemade biscuits, we sold stuff, and we rode horses. We did all kinds of things. Fun thing.
I love it. Elaine, would you recommend jiu-jitsu to someone of your similar background and age?
Absolutely. But here's the thing, guys, and I think you probably know this. You have to have a certain mindset to want to get on the floor and wrestle around with somebody. A lot of people don't like that personal, get out of my space thing, you know, they're afraid of. And two, it's big. Don't like fighting, you're not going to like jiu-jitsu. And I happen to like fighting. Who knew? But it's, I like it a lot. So I've just not found any friends that felt the same way. They're going, we're not doing that.
Yeah. I love it. What would you say to someone who is thinking about doing it, but maybe is a bit uncertain, a bit unsure?
I tell them, we have a free week. You can go to our gym. You can go all, you know, 6 or 7 days. So I would tell them, go try. Just give it a shot. See what they think.
I love it.
A beautiful thing also about jiu-jitsu, this is something I didn't expect. I didn't expect this. When I went to learn self-defense, and I went I just liked fighting, right? But I didn't expect that I was going to find this amazing community, and I was going to meet so many different people and make great friends. I feel like I have friends for my whole life now. And I wonder what were things that, when you started training, maybe they caught you by surprise. I was like, oh, I didn't expect I was going to love this part of jiu-jitsu.
That's exactly right. I really like the teenage boys in our class, in our gym. They've been great to me. I mean, really, really great. The teenage boys and girls, and just really had a lot of fun all the way around. The community is great. Our professors are such good teachers, and they're funny, you know. But if they ever get mad, you don't want to be still better straighten up. But I love going there, and I think they will be friends for life too. You're right. I didn't expect that jiu-jitsu community around the world really have been very nice to me. Get a little hoarse, sorry.
Our coach also, he toes a hard line as well, Elaine. He doesn't take any prisoners, that's for sure. Elaine, usually at this point in the podcast, we open it up to you. If there's anything you'd like to kind of say or mention or talk to the community about, we offer this up for you.
But also before, I have a few rapid fire questions.
Rapid fire questions.
Yeah. So
let's go. Maybe we should add some music here. Rapid fire questions.
One second. Have
you got them, bro?
I got them ready. Just give me a second.
Ooh. So you want short answers to these fast questions, am I correct?
Well, Elaine, you may have been thinking that Jiu-Losophy was a professional operation where planning and thought and your preparation went into it. But that is not the case. You've come onto a very free-flowing podcast. I didn't even know this was coming, so this is Aniki now.
Hey, that's okay with me.
Here we go. Number one, best fight of your life.
Best fight of my life. Is that what you said?
Yeah, yes, best fight.
Best fight of your life.
That would have been the second or third fight in the first World Masters that I won. That's the only one I've ever won. And we were fighting and my professor yelled, "Sweep her, Elaine." And when I did, she went down. I got on top of her. I never let her up. Yay!
Take your two.
Yeah, I would like to win another one before I die.
Amazing. Worst fight of your life?
Oh, I think probably that 38-year-old. That was really hard. There was just no way really to get anywhere with her. I think I fought her twice. The second time I at least got maybe 2 or 3 points, so I was happy about that. But man, that was a hard fight. And I was hurt too, and that didn't help any. I had hurt my back before the match, so that was not good.
What is the hardest person you've trained with that you're like, oh my God, this is the hardest person to train with?
Honestly, well, I don't know. I don't know. It's probably not one. Just the other night, I was rolling, or at least, you know, how sometimes they'll sit you in a position and say, well, it was close guard. And I was with this really big guy twice, white belt. That was not good. He slammed me down pretty good twice. So that, I go, ooh, I hate to lose that quickly. I want to at least hang in for a little while. So the bigger white belt guys are usually pretty hard.
What is the biggest lesson you've learned from jiu-jitsu?
Oh, my heavens. I don't even know how to answer that. The biggest lesson I've learned, probably that I'm competitive because I didn't know I was. I really had no idea that I was competitive, and I definitely am. I just didn't know it.
Can I ask a follow-up question, Elaine?
Sure.
Did people around you know you were competitive, or was it like a shock for everyone?
I don't think they probably knew because I've never done anything competitive. How would they know?
Yeah. Because I had the same revelation. I was like, oh, I never realized I was a competitive person. But then everyone around me was like, yeah, we kind of knew.
Oh, did it? You know, I would have to ask my husband that, but I'm thinking he probably didn't know I was, because I'm a really easygoing person. You know, mm-hmm. I'd rather let somebody cheat me than fight about it, except on a jiu-jitsu mat.
Favorite color of kimono, of gi? Blue, white, or black?
I like my blue gi, even though obviously I can't compete in it. I like my blue gi.
You're one of mine. Yeah.
Black gi all the way.
What is the music that you listen to before or after training?
We did I'm doing this Baja Fit class, and it's, you do 50 push-ups, sit-ups, lunges, squats, and plank push-ups, three times, three levels. So I brought some music to play, and it was mostly rock and roll type stuff. I got through that thing faster than I ever have.
Nice. Just
rock and roll. So obviously that spurs me to fast things, even though normally I listen to country music. If I want to do something quick, I'm going to put on something like rock and roll.
Is there like any, like, so I personally like country music a lot, especially like, and the thing that I find amazing about country music is just like every time I listen to it, it's like I'm just listening to stories, and I can just like lay back and just like listen to a story after another. And even though like I've never been to a lot of the places that they're singing about, it's just like it makes me imagine how they are. Is there like one country artist that you love more than anyone else?
I really like Thomas Rhett. He's in love with his wife, and most of his songs are about his wife. Love stories. I really like him a lot. I like Darius Rucker quite a bit too. I like the way his voice sounds. Took me a while to figure out he was part of Hootie and the Blowfish. I did not know that, because he's moved to country music now. So I really like him. I like a lot of the country music guys. I do. I like Old Dominion music.
How do you think, like, if we were like in a room right now with people that know you very well, like with your husband and your kids, and then like you left, like let's say you went to the restroom, and we asked them, what are Elaine's top three best qualities? What
top
would they
three
say?
What?
Best qualities. What do you think they would say?
Probably that I'm easygoing. I don't have a whole lot of ups and downs to my personality. Possibly that I'm creative. I'm a creative thinker. I tend to think outside of the box a lot. I don't know. Maybe just a caring person, possibly. You know, I work for an animal rescue, so we take in a lot of animals, dogs, cats, and occasionally horses. So we have foster dogs. I've got two here now in my house. So that's part of my personality too. I tend to want to mother everything.
Wow, it would be interesting to when you ask them, like, what do you guys think are my like to hear what they say.
You know, I never thought about even asking them. It'd be interesting to see what they say. I may text them tonight and say, all right. My kids, see what they say. Or my grandkids, as far as that goes.
And last but not least, what is a dream you still want to accomplish?
I want to learn to hang glide.
Of course. Elaine, you're amazing.
Does that not sound like fun? I mean, just jump off a cliff, you run off a cliff, and there you go.
You're incredible. I love it. Elaine, are you going to come?
They teach it in Alabama, up in North Alabama. I've already checked it out.
The question is, why haven't you done it?
Well, I've just had so much. I'm so busy with jiu-jitsu, and you know, I need to save my money because it's a little pricey.
I know that feeling. Yeah. Elaine, have you got any plans to come over and do the Europeans in Portugal?
Gosh, I would love to. I really would. You know, traveling now is not an easy thing.
Yeah.
Especially with the virus and the shots. And I'm not taking any shots, so I don't know if they'll let me on an airplane.
Right. Yeah. Got you. Well, I'm thinking Sunday we may see you at a competition.
That would be great. I would love it.
I sincerely hope we do. That'd be awesome. Elaine, is there anything you'd like to add? Anything you want to offer up?
I think we probably covered it up pretty good. I'm so happy to meet you guys. Thank you so much. It's an honor to be asked to be on this podcast with you guys. I appreciate it very much. I hope my accent's not too bad.
No, oh, we love it. We love it. And thank you so much for agreeing to it. We really do appreciate you giving up your time. It means a lot.
Great. Thank you so much.
Okay, Elaine. Sure. Listen. Best of luck on the mats. Best of luck in the competitions as well. And if you do go hang gliding, I want to see it on Instagram. That'd be insane.
Oh, I will definitely maybe not the crash, but
Elaine, again, thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
You guys have a good night.
All right. All the best. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.